This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. And I'm Ross Cooper, and today I'm joined by Ross Spencer. Not one, but two Rosses today for you to enjoy Sky Blue Army. Ross, how are you today?
Yeah, double Ross, mate. All good, mate. Nice to be back on, to be fair, because I've not been on for quite a while. I think it was just before Christmas when this run sort of started. I think me and myself and Matt, we sort of started this this run that we're going on. Yeah, we've not looked back since, and we've been absolutely flying. And I've enjoyed listening to yourself, Dino, and Dave sort of debrief it all over the past few weeks and over Christmas, mate. So yeah, I'm all good.
Good, mate. Yes, no, we certainly are on a roll. And of course, in the pod today, as always, we'll take a look back at the weekend's win as that great form continued for the Sky Blues with that 2-1 win away at Sheffield Wednesday. And we'll have a look ahead to the FA Cup game on Friday. But we do have to start, unfortunately, on that sour note at the end of the game. Ross, obviously that abhorrent racial abuse that Casey Palmer suffered from, you know, an individual, maybe a couple of individuals in the corner of the home section of the Sheffield Wednesday support. And it was clear watching it at the time on iFollow. When he went over to get the ball, obviously some racial remarks, and we've seen videos of monkey chants and gestures and things like that. Which is obviously, it goes without saying, everyone here at Sky Blues Extra, we obviously absolutely are disgusted, you know, by that behaviour. And we obviously stand with Casey Palmer and everyone in supporting him. And, you know, it's 2024, Ross, and, you know, we shouldn't be talking about this, you know, should we, in a championship fixture coming from, you know, obviously it's not Sheffield Wednesday fans. It's a minority. You know, we saw only a few weeks ago, one of their fans got sentence, you know, for holding up that Bradley Lowry, you know, photo. Yeah. And so it's not a good look for them. But these individuals, I know it always baffles me because they're half their team are, you know, are black and ethnic minorities. So yeah. It blows my mind. But, you know, we obviously send our support to Casey Palmer, and he knows that the Sky Blue family are with him. But it is disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm in a group chat with some of my other friends on WhatsApp as well. And I actually said it's quite ironic, really, isn't it, considering that the Sheffield Wednesday team, that half of them are black. So while doing that, you're not just racially abusing our player and players on our team, you're racially abusing players that are playing for your badge at the same time. Exactly. So when you're wanting them to fight really for your club to keep them in the championship, if you're presenting yourself in that manner and your fan base in that way, what's going to make those black players want to play for Sheffield Wednesday Football Club?
If any player, isn't it? You know, because they're teammates who, whether they're white or otherwise, no one wants to see their colleagues and friends, you know, have to endure that sort of abuse. And clearly it just again highlights, doesn't it, you know, Casey Palmer, obviously, you know, we all love it when we all sort of love to hate it in a way, you know, when we, you know, an opposition player, you know, comes and gives you a little bit of jip and you know, people throw the odd swear word and have a little, and I think the players know, and Casey Palmer knew, obviously, you know, when we scored the second goal, he, you know, and I think players and fans accept that that's part of it, you know, that sort of, you know, that back and that to and fro, you know, in terms of a little bit of stick and, you know, but again, it's sad that, you know, people feel like they have to, you know, step well across that line, you know, and bring sort of racism into it. And it is appalling. And obviously we hope that the person, you know, as seen in this, you know, on the images and the videos is found and obviously and hopefully banned for life. And I think that 99% of Sheffield Wednesday fans were in full support of that as well. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, well, from what you've seen online, you obviously we saw a few comments from, I think, obviously that other podcast. I don't really know too much about them, and certain sort of fans obviously saying comments about, oh, well, he did this, which we're not excusing the reaction, blah, blah, blah. But this is basically don't do that if you don't want this kind of reaction in return. And it's like, well, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't work like that, does it? I mean, all he literally did from looking at the videos was have a bit of fun of them and just kind of went like this and basically said, you're going down, which the amount of times that the Rico, well, when it was called the Rico over the years, that we've had players do similar things and you've seen it on the telly and, you know, it's part of the game.
A player who I despise, and you know, Jamie Vardy, right, is probably one of the biggest sort of shithouses. Now, he has done all sorts of celebrations in front of all sorts of different sets of fans.
Agreed.
The one thing that he never, obviously, you know, and he'll get given hurled, every name under the sun will get hurled at him.
Yeah.
But nothing, because he's white, there's nothing racist. So the problem with people, these fans need to realise is, you know, I think Palmo does that. And Palmer has got thick enough skin to take, you know, people calling him, you know,
million percent.
You know, swear words and insults or whatever. But when people, you know, have to, you know, start doing, you know, monkey gestures and that, it's so prehistoric at times. It's just, it's shocking. And yeah, we stand with Casey Palmer, and obviously we want to send our best wishes and support to him from everyone at Sky Blues Extra. And looking just quickly ahead to Friday, obviously, we've seen a lot of people on social media talking about everyone who's travelling to Hillsborough again on Friday. And it's another, obviously, sold-out away allocation, which is amazing, considering it's 6 days apart.
100%.
Obviously, you know, if anyone has got the two-tone kit, whether it was the original one or the one that we had, you know, with the two-tone tram lines, I think it'd be an amazing show of support, you know, for Casey and the whole, you know, squad for people to choose to wear that top. So, again, you know, get your two-tone top out. It's an amazing kit anyway. And if you're thinking you haven't worn it for a while, then this is, you know, as good a time as ever to you know, show the support for Casey and the rest of the players. So, yeah, hopefully it'd be great to see a black and white sort of sea, you know, behind that stand again. Yeah. So fingers crossed everyone can do that. And I'm sure the Sky Blue Army, as always, will do an amazing, amazing job. Now, to the football, and it's always sad that you have to start on a non-football note, but looking at the football, and obviously, Ross, we went into this game, obviously on the back of that incredible win, you know, against Leicester. We needed to back it up, didn't we? We couldn't afford to sort of, you know, lose to Sheffield Wednesday, and then you'd almost feel like, well, we might as well have lost to Leicester and beat Sheffield Wednesday. We wanted to make the Leicester result count even more. We needed to get something, didn't we?
Yeah, especially because we beat them at home as well. And I know Robin said they did have chances, but I'll be honest, I feel like we did dominate that game at home, because obviously I was at the game, and from watching it, they had their sort of sniff, so to speak, in the game, but it was very territorial, so to speak, from our point of view. It didn't ever feel... They felt like they could maybe have a moment where they could get sort of like a, you know, it deflects in the box and a quick snapshot and it goes in. And then all of a sudden it goes to 1-1 or 2-1. And then you're thinking, oh no, but it was never, oh, they're piling the pressure on.
They had that one goal mouth scramble, didn't they? That, and where it cleared off a line. But, you know, at that point it was 1-0. And we, you know, maybe got away with that slightly. But then, you know, we went at the other end. And I felt like as soon as we turned it on, didn't we? We obviously sealed that win. So,
Obviously going back to that, we needed to back it up really from beating the probably champions of this division, let's be real about it, from beating them at home. And like I said, we competed in that game, 11 versus 11 and 10 versus 11, in my opinion. It was not just, oh, they got a man sent off and it was the complete change of the game. We were fully in that game until the penalty and the red card situation happened. So it was, I think Sheaf said it in the post-match, didn't he, after the game, actually. He said they all said in the tunnel and before the game that they have to go and back this up. And they knew. Yeah, and they knew they had, what, over 4,000 fans beyond the goal supporting them as well.
It looked amazing. There's certain grounds where a packed away and looks impressive. And I think Hillsborough was certainly one of those.
Definitely.
Obviously, going into this game, the lineup I think is probably what we all expected. Obviously, Collins, Bidwell, Kitchen, Thomas, Van Avac, Sakamoto, Eccles, Sheaf, Palmer on the left with O'Hare and Godwin. Is that what you saw? Any surprises there, really? You know, obviously coming off the back of that great win against Leicester.
I'm not going to delve into it too much. I've had enough powers on Twitter and stuff over the years for it. But obviously, Godwin's a bit of a floating the boat for me, so to speak. I'm not sold on him still at the minute. I've still not been sold on him. Even last season, I was saying that I think his legs are starting to go at this level. I think keep him in the squad, most definitely, and he's going to have an impact off the bench. But I do feel a bit for Ellis Sims, because for me, I think Sims needs a massive run of games to really get it in his legs and get going. And it feels like he comes in and then he's out for two or three games again. And it's just when you're young and you're that young, you've got to have that consistent football being played, or else you're never, ever going to get into a stride. And I just feel for him more than I'm annoyed at Godwin playing, if that makes sense.
Because you look at Sakamoto, you look at Haji Wright, they got that in the games and they're benefited. I mean, just for any listeners, obviously it's going to be very confusing with two Rosses. If Ross Spence makes a terrible opinion, make sure you get the right Ross if you're going to blame someone on Twitter, please. So looking at, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, I mean, it was weird because we beat them on Boxing Day. Obviously, they've only played four league games. They'd only played three league games before Saturday. They'd won two of them, so they'd beat Preston, they'd beat Hull 3-1 at home, albeit Hull had 10 men, harsh red card, and then they obviously came into Saturday on that back of that, you know, a 4-0 thumping away at Southampton, which is, you know, that's not the sort of game that's going to, you know, determine their survival or not, is it? But I mean, their manager seems to have got a bit of a reaction. I mean, they've given themselves a fighting chance, but I mean, it was one of those that you feel like we're showing that quality now, don't we? And, you know, with that team and everyone knows their roles, that you feel like if we can just make our moments tell and defend properly, that we're going to, we'd have a good chance of success. What did you make of the opening, say, you know, half an hour of the game, Ross?
I think the big thing for me that shifted in this team, and I know that you've touched on it in a few of your pods that you've done since sort of the start of the season, is at the start of the season, we used to go into games and we never used to really know what we were going to get with the team. Like, you didn't actually know what was going to happen. Like, with our old team, you knew what we were going to try and do. It would either work on the day or it wouldn't. Whereas this team, it was like, are we going to play today? Are we going to turn up? Are we going to compete? There was not really anything about us. But then all of a sudden, when it started to click, now all of a sudden, when I go into a game, I know what we're going to try and do to teams. And it's just whether we're going to turn up and put the ball in the back of the net and defend our box well on the day, and then we'll win. Or is it going to be one of those days where it doesn't drop for you, so to speak? So I think we're in that position now where we ultimately know what we're going to get with this team. It is just a case of, do we execute the plan and do things fall for us on the day?
We're a well-oiled machine now, rather than being a bag of rebels where you're not quite sure what we're going to get. You know what we're going to get, and it's just a case of, you know, and in a way that gives you, it's just a case of, like you say, how well individuals perform. Do we collectively and individually perform, you know, at 7 out of 10, or do we perform at a 9 out of 10? And really, you know, if our rating's better, then, you know, and obviously that is why we've come out and we're on this great run, which we'll touch on later. I mean, you know, the game, they sort of, again, they're fighting for their lives. They sort of started okay. And then but once we got that foothold in the game, it feels like that we are getting better at sort of dictating the play, aren't we? And keeping a good threat.
I think it just felt a bit like the home game again, to be honest. It just felt like, although they were having sort of little moments and stuff, you know, it was under control. Like Sheaf said it after his post-match interview, and he said, you know, it just took us a bit of time. Obviously, it's a hostile environment. They get behind their team you know, it's, they're not going to make it easy. The pitch wasn't amazing there. And it takes a bit of a while to settle in, especially when we're going to try and really be the dominators in the game of the ball, so to speak. They're not going to try and put, obviously they're a home team and they're going to try and gain advantage, but we have the better players, so to speak. So we are naturally going to have more of the ball. So it was just a case of getting that first goal. And I said before the game yesterday, if we score first, I have no doubts that we'll win the game. So as soon I saw that Ben Sheaf goal hit the back of the net, I just knew that we were going to go on to win the game. I have that confidence in them now.
let's get onto the goal. I mean, it was what an unbelievable, just like the whole sort of the move before and the turn and everything. It was absolutely so graceful, wasn't it? And I mean, Barry Bannon is probably still sliding. He committed that. He sold him completely. Clearly, Ben Sheaf has been watching Sakamoto on how to like do those Cruyff turns, because I tell you, it was unbelievable. And what a strike. And it, like Robin said, and sometimes he's mentioned it in previous interviews, and I've never quite fully understood what he's meant. But actually, when you see where the ball is and you see his body shape and the angle he's running at the ball, everything just looks right, doesn't it? It looks like a FIFA R1 and shoot, you know, finesse. And
straight into the top corner.
unbelievable strike, isn't it? But he's capable of that, Ross. And I said this for seasons, that he should get more goals, because technically he is an unbelievable player. He's capable of striking a ball really well. Like, yes, he's a great strike, but it didn't shock me. I didn't go, I sort of went, oh, wow, that's a great goal. I didn't go,
yeah,
holy
hell,
that's Ben. If that was Josh Eccles, I'd be like, crikey. But Ben Sheaf, I think he's capable of doing that. And I think he can do that a lot more for us. What did
Agreed.
You think of it? What a goal.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't come through the Hale End Academy at Arsenal for no reason, did he? He's a very good footballer. And I think, don't get me wrong, he does make mistakes at times, which every footballer is good. I mean, I watched Southampton against Swansea, and they were literally, they're a great team, Southampton, to watch on the eye. They're in unbelievable form. But even some of their players at times will pass it across the goal and make a mistake. So even at the top end of this division, your best players will still do loose passes. And Sheaf does do that at times, you know, but he's got that much about his game that's so good to watch, it makes up for all of the other parts that might frustrate you at times. And I said it on Twitter when I think he scored, I actually tweeted and I said his footballing IQ at this level is absolutely insane. I actually saw someone say he is the equivalent of Declan Rice in the Championship. Yeah. He is very similar in terms of the way he breaks up play, the way he keeps the ball flowing, the way he actually drives with the ball.
His reading
now at
of
times,
the game is very good, isn't it?
It's sensational. It really is. And like you said, the one thing.
Team. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, sorry. No, the one thing I was going to say is I agree with you is that with him, he frustrates me so much at times. You know, when he gets to the edge of the box and sometimes he tries to do extra things, and I just think, just shoot.
Please, just shoot.
And that proved my point yesterday. Stop doing extra things and just leather it like you've done there. Yeah,
it was just literally
boom, straight away, and it just went in. And that was an absolutely brilliant goal.
Sensational. I mean, I remember when we had him on loan, I was sort of, you know, again, obviously, you know, we're talking, you know, 4 years ago. So obviously he was a younger player. It was his first season in the Championship. And obviously we were by far sort of an inferior team to what we are now. But I remember I was a little bit like, he was making quite a few mistakes. But a good friend of mine, he said, I know I see a player there. And actually, as that season progressed, and when we sort of started, you know, sawing ourselves out towards the sort of end, and we ended up finishing 16th, he started then showing that ability.
He's
just gone from strength to strength. And I think he suits the captain's armband as well, I have
Love
to say.
Al Captino, as I call him,
He will be. I mean, it makes sense to me. And I think he is one of these sort of experienced heads in terms of games. Obviously, he's still young. But a great, great player. And he's just... It's like, because he's got better players around him who are also on the same wavelength. So when he's trying to do those passes, more often than not than they were, say, 4 years ago, they're coming off now because obviously better players. But also, do you think he is... There's two things. I remember a few weeks ago, Dave Moore was asking the question on the pod about, do we think that obviously Hamer going and we were still playing the same formation from last year, it almost felt like he was trying to do too much, right? To try and cover two roles. Whereas going to the four now, the 4-2-3-1, it's almost like... It's like he stepped up in Hamer's absence, but he's not trying to be Hamer. You know, he's being the best version of Ben Sheaf possible. And in this formation, he's just driving forward with the ball. I mean, and I've said this a few times. I don't know one player who looks worse in this formation than prior. The only, you know, like everyone looks 10 times better in this formation than previously. The only person who would suit back five better would be Kyle McFadyen. Yeah. And there's a reason why he's not played a single second since we changed.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but no, Ben Sheaf, unbelievable player. It's great that I think he signed a contract in last year till 2026. So
we've got a good 3 years of him, yeah, I think, so, left. So,
but brilliant from him. And obviously we got to half time. It was a good time to obviously get the goal. And then the second half was one of those where, again, they're obviously going to push, and we had moments. We, you know, we look a threat, don't we? That's the key now, isn't it? Like, you know, there's games earlier on in the season where we'd get to the final third. And again, particularly with the old system, and everyone doesn't really know what we're going to do now. Whereas now it's clear. We've got width, we've got overlapping runs, we've got O'Hare dropping into those pockets. I don't think teams know how to defend against us. And that the sort of second goal epitomised that, didn't it? That lovely overlap from Bidwell. I mean, he'd never get that high up when he was playing an actual wing back. Yeah, he's a fullback, and he's up there, and he puts a cross in, Palmer's there, and we're just overloading. I looked at it, I thought, wow, we've got so many people in and around the box. Matty Godden's there ready to pass. Sakamoto to the second ball. Then Ben Sheaf's arriving late. I'm thinking, Bidwell, I mean, we've literally got half the team up there, and it was amazing to see. And it was Ben Sheaf double. I mean, the last time he got a brace was that Birmingham game, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, when he scored the header, didn't he, on half time? Then he got one after half time. Yeah, in that crazy game, I was at that game as well. That was the last time
he actually did. Didn't he?
Yeah, he just comes up with one of them every so often, doesn't he? Where he'll just score two in a game.
Give him confidence, because that's the sort of goal you want to see from a goal scoring, say, midfielder. Do you know what I mean?
And for me, it should mean that, you know, players should start to look for him in certain positions now as well. You know, if he gets the ball now, it can be realistically, he doesn't shoot enough for me. So a lot of teams don't, when they're training a week and they're obviously looking at clips and they're doing whatever, they're not going to really go, right, stop, close this section down and sort your press out in this position to stop Ben Sheaf from shooting. It's not really something they're going to identify. It's going to be more, try and double up on Sakamoto, try and double up on Haji Rai, stop it going into the channels for Sims or Godden. It's going to be little things like this, stop it going into the pockets for O'Hare. Whereas now we can now utilise that. Whereas if we've not got an overload, or we're sort of, they've sort of camped us into an area of the pitch, can we look to quickly progress it in the middle, give it to Sheaf, and Sheaf can have a shot?
And
we can shoot from that position. We can evidently see, yeah, he's not going to score every time, but he's got more than enough quality to get five or six goals in that position before the end of the season.
Agreed. And if he does that, that would be a huge...
And those five or six goals could be points that take us into the playoffs at the end of the season. And we're now at the stage of the season, Ross, as well, where I was listening to the commentary early on and the Leeds game. I know they played Preston and... Leeds didn't play that well, but they got that late penalty. And think Paul Heckingbottom, who went up with Sheffield United last year, obviously just got sacked. He said, at this stage of the season, the key moments in games are what defines people who go up and get in the playoffs and who don't. And I thought, you're so right. And goals from people like Ben Sheaf, who aren't necessarily expected, are key moments for a club like us. Because if we can get five or six extra goals out of him now till the end of the season, they could be goals that win us games or get a draw. Yeah. And take us into the playoffs.
And the key thing for me is, I think, you know, and I've touched on this before, last season we obviously had, you know, Jokeres getting 21 goals. We had Hamer with 12 or 11 or whatever it was. But then after that, there was a big drop-off. And it was very clear that those two players, if you stopped them, then you stopped us. But this season, you look at it and you go, well, our top scorer has sort of been playing out the left for the majority of it. Yeah. We've got Matt Godden. We've got Ellis Sims there, who, yes, hasn't got the goals, but he's creating space. You've got Callum O'Hare, you've got Sakamoto, you've got Ben Sheaf getting a goal, you've got Van Avak, who's capable of getting a goal, Casey Palmer. And you look at it and you go, I feel like we've got too many options for teams to just go, if we stop. Because it was very clear last year. And if we were playing against our Coventry side, you'd go, if you stop Jokeres, you stop this team from playing. Like, you really do. Whereas I don't think that's the case. And I do think as a team, we are a better side. Because people also have this myth that last season, by now we were going on this amazing run. This time last year, we got battered by Norwich. We had a couple of 0-0 draws. You know, we're in a better position now than we were last season. And I think we're only going to get better because Pitt players are improving all the time. We've got Victor Torp. I mean, think about it, a £2 million signing who we've got the luxury to go, you know what, we're just going to let him get up to speed.
Yeah.
And then when he's there, he can come in.
Last season, we'd have been going, get him in the team. All the fans would have been going, why is he not playing?
Mate, go back to the start of this season.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought, we were all going, I can't believe we didn't get a centre mid. As soon as we get to January, we need a centre mid. Well, we've signed a centre mid and none of us are going, he needs to play.
Yeah.
And we sold it. Yeah, because people have stepped up.
It's the formations. So true.
It's great. I mean, and just rounding off this game, obviously they got a goal back and we made for a nervy few minutes because they struck me as a very much a, I don't know, they sort of resorted to picking O'Hare and everyone when they got the chance, lumping these balls in the box, trying to win headers. And that's how they got their goal. Josh Windass sort of, you know, it was pinball in the air and then he finished it off. And then they had a couple of other little moments like that, but you never felt they were going to open us up and sort of, you know, play us off the park. And we stood firm. And I was thinking about this this morning. I think in moments like that, because we held on against Leeds and we withstood their pressure, to me is the toughest place to go in the league.
Yeah,
alongside the CBS, but for other teams. But Elland Road, we went there, we got the equaliser, they piled on the pressure and we stood firm. So I think
we got out of there.
As a team of defenders, as that back five, including the goalkeeper, you look at that and go, well, we can do it again. We're going to shuffle. You know what I mean? We've been in the lines and we've held firm. So if we can do it there, we can do it against these.
We've almost been in the trenches once. So now we know what it is to go in the 100%. Trenches, don't we? And I said that at Leeds away. I remember when we left there and it felt like we'd won the game by getting that point because of how difficult that place is to go. Like, look what they did to Ipswich there. Absolutely blew them to pieces. And Ipswich are a good team, very good team in this league. And like you said, I was at Leeds away and that was backs against the wall in the trenches for those last 20 minutes. And I said, after drawing there, we can really use this to completely transform our season now. And you could tell after the game that the team left the pitch and they thought, you know what, we can really compete and hang on against anyone in this
100%.
Division. And even the fans felt that leaving the game. I remember fans were saying, they said, we've just come and got a point at Leeds, you know, after going 1-0 down as well. We actually equalised. We didn't go 1-0 up and then concede. We actually went 1-0 down and then equalised in the game and then hung on at the end of the game. And we also had chances to nick it. I know they did, but we had a couple of chances in that game that we could have scored. So I totally agree with you when you say teams like Sheffield Wednesday, although it's going to be difficult, we have that almost balls of steel about us to say, you know what, come at us for 20 minutes and let's see what you're about, if that makes sense. Not a case of them going, let's see what you're about and we're going to bottle it. It's more, okay, give us what you've got, give us your best and we'll withstand it. And that's what has really changed with this team as well. And I think results like yesterday just prove what Elland Road's result did to us as well as a team.
Exactly. Especially when you consider earlier on in the season, you know, late goals away at Hull, at home to Huddersfield in the last minute. You know, the team has come on leaps and bounds. And again, in that back four, where everyone looks like they know what they're doing. Obviously, that win took us back into the playoffs. It was a great response after Hull had won on Friday night. 43 points, West Brom losing, meaning we're only 2 points off fifth. So things are looking good. Position wise, obviously still, you know, plenty of games to go, 18 matches in fact. But I do want to get your man of the match, Ross, for the game against Sheffield Wednesday. Who stood out for you? There's only one man, isn't there?
He's here. He's there. He's everything. Ben Sheesh.
No, it has to be because midfield is where you win and lose games. And if your midfielder gets a couple of goals, especially one like that, and you can say it if you like, mate, it's a goal worthy of winning any game.
Yeah, a million percent. He is top draw, mate. And we are. I hope fans start to realise how lucky we are to have him. I said it at the Swansea game, actually, about him. Him and Matt Grimes, outside of the top three teams in this division, are the two best centre midfielders in this division by a country mile. But there's no question about it for me. Him and Matt Grimes are just levels above everyone, bar your Leeds, Southamptons and people like that, and Leicester. They are the players that would walk into any team in this division. So yeah, by a mile, mate, Ben Sheesh, man of the match.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
So, just a six-day turnaround then for the Sky Blues before heading back up to Hillsborough on Friday. Once again, this time for an FA Cup fourth round clash. I don't know about you, Ross, when the draw was made, I was a little bit meh. I say a little bit. I was very, very meh. Any all-championship tie feels a little drab. To say the least, but the draw's been made. There's no point dwelling on that. But we go up there again with an opportunity. I guess that's how we're going to look at it, an opportunity to get to the fifth round, continue this great momentum. But it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it, to play a team. You know, we had it with Middlesbrough last year when we played them three times in a row. But this one, you know, obviously their priority is the league. Our priority is probably the league. But we know that winning breeds winning. How do you think Robbins is going to approach this one? Because we do have a tight turnaround until the next game, playing Bristol on the following Tuesday. So what do you expect from Robbins? Because, you know, he alluded to wanting a cup run. Could you see more changes for this game than what he made, say, for Oxford, you know, in the third round?
I think we go back to the point, mate. I remember when we played Swansea at home. We've got a squad this year and people need to start remembering that a little bit. I remember when we changed the team against Swansea at home and it was like utter meltdown on Twitter. It was like, why are we resting Van Ivac? Why are we resting? And it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We have signed a lot of good players, you know, that can easily, they're not on the bench because they're rubbish. They're on the bench because they're trying to fight their way back into the team. So when an opportunity like the FA Cup arises, you stamp your authority in this game and say to Mark Robbins, you pick me, mate. Not exactly. If you're Binks, if you're Louis Binks, you're going, don't pick Liam Kitchen or Thomas, pick me. Or if you're Lati Bodier, you're going, don't pick Van Ivac or Eccles, pick me and put me in that position. And these
that's what
are
you
the
want, isn't it?
Yeah, that is exactly what you want. So for me, I think he'll go strong, but I think it will be very similar. I know he's already said, oh, Victor Torp's very, he's a few weeks away.
Well, I was going to ask you about him.
I would not be surprised if he throws him in for this game in the slightest.
Neither would I, because I
it's very Robbins-esque, isn't it? To say one thing and then do another thing on the Friday.
I look at it and go, well, so he would have trained for, you know, basically
2 weeks,
3 weeks.
Nearly.
Well,
yeah,
by
two,
the
two
game
and
on Friday,
weeks,
it
yeah.
been 2.5 weeks. And I sort of look at it and go, so there's a lot he's obviously learning on the training pitch and all the rest of it. Now, you've got a game that at the end of the day, if you know, if you'd asked Robbins, asked anyone, out the two matches, you could only win one, which would you pick? We'd have all picked the league game.
Yeah, million percent.
Unless, you know, you guarantee that we'd get like Villa at home or something in the next round. Yeah. Unless you made that promise.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I still think a lot of people would go with the league and rightly so. So I look at it and go, there's probably a lot that Victor Torp could learn from
million percent.
Being given 60 minutes and, you know, and you know what? Throw him in. Because there'll be a lot that they could then work with him afterwards and look through clips and go, okay, now you've been working with us on the training pitch. Now you can sort of see. So he obviously experienced on Saturday being on the bench and seeing the atmosphere and everything. Now it's like, okay, now you're going to get a taste of it. And then you can go, okay, and there's bound to be things that don't quite go right. Look, fans have got to hopefully what this season's proved everyone is Van Ivac, you know, at times
Hadji Wright,
quite dodgy. Hadji Wright, you know, the rest of them. You can go Itakamoto.
All of them.
So with, you know, Bobby Thomas at times had a wobbly period.
Yeah, he's had a really wobbly period.
Probably going to be, I guarantee, Victor Torp will be one of these players that he'll be like, oh, okay, see something there. And probably 10 games into next season, we'll be like, what a great player we've got here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So this between now and the end of the season is getting him as integrated as possible. I think this is a perfect game. I agree with you.
I do.
What's the worst thing that can happen, because he's also going to play in a position, maybe you could put him with a Ben Sheaf, maybe you could put him with Eccles, and a bit of a sink or swim. You know, I think a lot of our players this year have swam. You know, when he put Kitchen and Thomas against Leeds, I mean, who'd have thought it? Like I say, going to Elland Road without fads, but they swam. They dealt with the pressure. Could Victor Thorpe, you know, he'd have picked up on stuff, learn, make an appearance. I agree. I think it'd be a good game for him to be given a chance. And it's an obvious one, isn't it? Because he's going to want to rest a few players. And the person I want to ask you about and you probably is Sakamoto, because he's played every minute of the last however many games. Do you see him? He didn't have his most effective game on Saturday. And I sort of go, could he do with a little just a little rest, just so he's really fresh for Tuesday night?
I was going to give you my team, but I'd quite like to see the two centre-halves and the goalie.
Give me your team, Ross. Go on, what team do you...
I think Wilson in goal to give Collins a little breather as well, because, you know, we've got a squad now, and obviously Wilson is more than capable of playing. I'd continue to play Van Ivac because I feel like he's now got back into a stride. So I'd play him, and I'd also probably play Bidwell, but you could play De Silva there. So it's up to Robbins what he does.
Maybe starting.
Yeah, so it's maybe De Silva. And then I would go Binks and Lati Bodier at centre half, just like in the Oxford game. So you pretty much nearly change the whole back four. So it's a complete, but they're more than capable of dealing with that. Because you've got to bear in mind, Sheffield Wednesday are also going to make changes, in my opinion, because the league is priority for them as well. I would then go Victor Thorpe and Eccles as the two sitting players in sort of the 4-2-3-1, so to speak, that we kind of play. I then would like to see, if he's fit, Hadji come in on the left. Then I potentially would play Palmer off the right this game with Callum O'Hare as the 10. And then Ellis Sims or Matty Godden, but probably Sims to give him a game up front. And I think that is more than a strong enough team, because Hadji doesn't have to play the whole 90 minutes. Hadji can play 65 minutes, get some minutes in his legs, and then you just bring on Tats for the last 25 minutes.
Exactly.
And you put Palmer out on the left, Tats on the right, and then you've rested Tats to the point he's not played a full 90-odd minutes of the game, but you've killed two birds in one stone. You've rested Tats, and you give Hadji minutes back in his legs after having a few weeks out through injury. So for me, that would personally, what I would expect and like to see Robbins do with such a close turnaround.
I sort of agree. I mean, I guess, you know, I want to probably ask you about it. The glaring omissions, I guess, is obviously no Kelly and no fads, you know. And I mean, again, at time of recording, you know, both are obviously still at the club. I anticipate fads will be until the summer, but there are a few murmurings, just, you know, rumors doing the rounds about Kelly potentially going to Burton or somewhere else. The fact that he's not, again, he didn't play against Oxford, and you do wonder, don't you? You do.
Well, funnily enough, I went on Instagram, and on Saturday when we were playing, he was actually out on a walk with his dog and his family, and that was at like 2:30-3 p.m. So he wasn't even with the team.
Mm.
So for me, obviously, I know, especially with our chat, we're not ones to buy into rumours sort of straight away, but this one does make sense, if you know what I mean. There's no concrete evidence of it, but it is, I feel like it's just a case of behind the scenes, it's manufacturing into what it needs and wants to be, if that makes sense. I think it's just a matter of when, not if, with him. We're just kind of playing a waiting game, really. And ultimately, he's been a great, look, listen, Leon Kelly is a fan. We would not be in the position we are in now without players like Leon Kelly, Kyle McFadden, even Matty Godden, these type of players.
No, of course not.
They gave us a football club back, ultimately, along with Robbins and Vivash. They are a key part of that. But I've said it for a while, our fans, especially at the start of the season, you notice it, we're too sentimental with players, if that makes sense. We get very, very attached and don't realise that ultimately football is a business, and it is a... You want to grow as a football
moving,
club,
isn't it? Football doesn't stand still. Everyone's getting older, and then I guess the thing for me, mate, is like if Kelly had, like, you know, come on now and then, or Fads had come on now and then, you sort of go, maybe he'll play Kelly Kelly and Allen or something on Friday night, you know. But it does feel like he's not playing.
He's not, and for me, would I rather watch our new 2.5 million or whatever it was, pound, young, promising, very good attributes and stats, centre midfielder that we've just signed. Because realistically, he's not going to play much in the league in the coming weeks. This will be the one chance that we're really going to get to see him and sort of get behind him and show him, you know, we're behind you.
He could come in and suddenly be a joke.
He could have a great game. We are literally going off what happened at the start of the season with the others. But we've got to also factor he's now coming into a settled team, whereas the other team had to come in and make it a settled team. Yeah. So it's very, very different environment. So for all we know, he could play on Friday and have an absolute stormer. And then we're going,
Robinson's very good at managing expectations. Yeah. You know, he doesn't want people to expect too much. And I think part of that is because of how some of the stick that Hadji and other players got at the start of the season. But I do agree with you. I think it's pretty clear that
surplus to requirements, so to speak.
The changing of the guard. So I will get a prediction from you for this game, Ross. What do you think?
I'm going to go, I think another 2-1. I think they'll probably score. I think it'll be, we'll dominate it again for sure. Because like I said, I know we're on about changing our team, but they're definitely not going to play their strongest team. They're a million, because I mean, they're going to have a game on Tuesday as well, and they really need to pick up points. It's as simple as that. Their league is priority for them. I know it is for us, but especially if you're a relegation team, every game is so, so important. So for them,
well,
they are going to look at it.
Mate, they've got Watford at home, then Huddersfield, then Birmingham.
Massive games for them. So they're in the corner of their eye, mate. They're not even really focusing on this game. They have to prepare for it and turn up and try and win. But if they go out, they're not all going to leave there and go, oh, damn, we're out of the FA Cup. They're going to be thinking, right, scrap the cup now, all attention on the league. So
a draw would be a bad result, wouldn't it?
No, I don't. I do not want a replay. As bad as it sounds, I'd rather us actually lose, if that makes sense. If we're going to go there and not pick up anything, just we may as well lose the game. It's black or white for me. We win or we lose. Yeah, it's as simple as that. I do not want a 2-2 and we come back to the CBS, and we're playing another Tuesday night game, then that's affecting a Saturday game or whatever it may be. I'd rather just go there and win, or go there and we unfortunately don't get the result we want and we're out of the cup. It's as simple as that for me.
Exactly. Well, fingers crossed that we can progress, get another win, and hopefully progress through to the fifth round of the FA Cup. That is all we've got time for today. Thank you, as always, Sky Blue Army, for listening. Make sure you follow us on social media at Sky Blues Extra, and make sure you get your comments in with your thoughts as well, and join the discussion. Ross, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, mate.
As always, play up Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.